Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm with the police commissioner, James O'Neill, and a tough subject to talk about, suicide of police officers. So it seems to me there are two things we need to talk about. What do you suspect might be causing this sudden increase? And then what can you do about it? I mean, we've talked about it over the summer, but this is very difficult. What's your immediate thought?
So my immediate thought is that if there's anyone out there right now listening to this, a cop, police officer, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, inspector, deputy inspector, chief, whoever you are, and you haven't thought of suicide, there's got to be someone that you have that you can trust, whether it's a partner, a friend, a family member. You have to come forward and you have to get help. This is just absolutely devastating to each and every member of this police department. Every time it happens, I know everybody feels like I heard last night, and I just almost stopped breathing for a second. I couldn't believe it. But it's real. It's happening. And we have to take care of each other. We have to step forward if we see somebody in crisis to get them help. And the help is out there. There's many things that we have been doing, and there are new things that will be available within the next day or two. But the big step here is to come forward for help. People want to help you. Your family wants to help you. Your partners want to help you. Everyone wants to help you. But you have to take that step forward.
Asking is a very difficult thing to do, though.
It is, and I think especially for police officers, but we have to get past that. I'm not sure people understand what happens when someone commits suicide. It's devastating to the family. It's devastating to the friends. It's devastating to the command. It's devastating to the city. And there's so much to live for. It's not a sign of weakness to come forward to look for help. It's a sign of strength. We want you to get better. So there's opportunity for help.
So we want to talk about the different things that you're doing. But before we get to that, what's the thinking about, there have been so many this summer. 8 since June?
It started with Steve Silks, Chief Silks, in June.
And any thought about what the thinking is among these troubled people?
Each and every one we look at, the Force Investigation Division conducts their investigation to see if there's a common thread running through all of them, and we just don't see it right now. Maybe down the road we will, but we're not. You know, is it professional? Is it personal? There's so many different things that it could be a combination of both.
Isn't there sometimes, for lack of a better word, sort of a contagion effect, or one gives the other an idea?
There is a contagion effect. It happened in another major city last year. I think there was 5 within 2 months.
And there was a rash back in the 90s, 93, I believe.
I think 94 was, there were 12 suicides in 1994. But that makes all the more problematic to try to stop. And that's why it's going to take each and every one of us in this police department to take a look at the people we work with. And there were signs. We just put out an app on everybody's smartphone. It's going to be coming out within the next day or so. It's the Employees Assistance Unit app. You push on that app, press on that app, and it'll give you everything you need to know about where help is and what the signs are. Most importantly, what the signs of suicide are. I urge every member of the department, as soon as that appears on your phone, take a look at it and read it. And it's interactive at points. It brings you to different sites, the American Society of Prevention of Suicide, a couple other different sites, and gives you everything that you need to know about issues you might be having or issues your partner or friends or coworkers might be having.
I think people who are so used to helping and doing sometimes you get involved in your own things and you don't realize the downward spiral you're actually in.
You know, just take a look what police officers do every day in this city. You know, they go out of their way to help people that they don't even know. No one knows who's calling 911. No one knows who's flagging you down. And there's no hesitation to help those people. But we have to do the same with each other.
So one of the things you always talk about is PAPA, because sometimes I understand there's a reluctance to go within the department. Has there been an increase in calls to PAPA by police officers that indicates that they're trying? Yep. And is there anything you can do to beef up PAPA?
PAPA is one of the avenues that police officers can pursue if they want to go outside the police department. We're entering into a partnership with a major medical center in New York City right now that will have availability to help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, either by phone, by FaceTime, and we'll get you an appointment within 24 hours. I think that's and it's anonymous. No one's going to know that you're doing it. It's a road to being healthy and well again, and it's a road to get you back to what you came on this job for, and that's to make a difference and to do good and to help other people. PAP is one of the programs that we have. We have a very, through employees, the Employees Assistance Unit, we have a number of other avenues that people can pursue within the department. There's a crisis text line, specifically police, that people can use if they're in crisis. So there are a number of avenues that people can pursue, and we're adding more each and every day. Meeting with the first deputy mayor, we're expanding the health coverage network for providers that are within network for police officers, that so they can use their private insurance. So there's no misunderstanding there. That'll be announced shortly, too. The help is there, but the big hurdle, obviously, that we're looking to overcome now is to get people to that help. And it's going to require each and every person in this police department, all 55,000 of us, to keep our membership safe and get them the help that they need.
Isn't one of the problems that police officers are frequently afraid that they're going to have their gun removed and perhaps lose an assignment that they enjoy?
Yeah, it is a concern, and there's this stigma that we always talk about also about coming forward looking for help. You know, we take these jobs to help other people, and unfortunately, over there, I guess since the beginning of policing, there's a stigma about you always have to be tough. But look at the trauma that police officers are exposed to every day. You know, think about the shootings, homicides, vehicle accidents, you know, kids that are injured, even just the mere fact of interviewing a robbery victim. Just think about the trauma that people hold within themselves. And it's not something that they go home and talk to their families about. They don't want to burden their families with that. Just think about all that trauma that they deal with every day, and then you add in their personal lives and any issues that they might have personally. That's why we have to get people to step forward. We have to get everyone in this police department involved to make sure that we stem this tide of tragedies, and each and every one of them. And it was a terrible blow to all of us.
So is it that common that to just talk about the guns again, is it that common that an officer's weapon is removed? Or is that only when they go through the department? I mean,
no, and I think most people would admit that there are times when we need to take people's guns away from them just to make sure we keep them safe. It happens. It's last year there were dozens of people that had their guns removed, but most of them got them back after they get help and get well. So this shouldn't be an obstacle, and I know that's an issue for police officers. And the bigger issue, I think, is that people don't want to admit that they're experiencing issues, that they're experiencing problems. They're experiencing problems personally or professionally. You know, this job doesn't make you a robot, but it makes you what you're exposed to every day. You have to be able to maintain your emotions, and sometimes in the long run, that's going to have a negative effect if you hold that within, all that in you.
Have you contacted other departments, like Los Angeles has a big unit?
Yeah, we actually sent people to LAPD. We've been in contact with Chicago PD. I think we've contacted a number of other police departments, too. As I said, the one major police department had five in 2 months last year, so there's something to be learned from by reaching out beyond the NYPD. And we're reaching out to the medical community, too. The outpouring of support is really heartening to see how much people really care about police officers.
The other thing, when it comes to mental health, there's still such a stigma, whether you're a police officer or just a mother or father, you know, there is still a stigma. You know, is it possible if you had mental health officials in a precinct sort of on a normal, just a normal basis, it would be like, oh, yeah, of course, he works here, and take away some of that?
Yeah, I think that's going to help us build trust out, and we're in the process now of doing executive training. We're also doing command-level training where we're sending clinicians, the precinct captains or precinct commanders are out there doing the presentation with them to let them know what's available. We're going to do that by borough. We're looking for 4 multipliers now to make sure we have enough clinicians to go out there and hit every roll call in every precinct, transit district, housing PSA, whatever unit you work in. We want to make sure that there's face-to-face contact, that you know that there are people out there looking to help you and people care about you, and we want you to get the help that you need to get better.
Is there anything that happens, for instance, the fellow on Wednesday took his own life? It's my understanding he has some connection to, for instance, the firefighter who passed away from a heart attack maybe a week ago. You know, like checking in with other family members when a tragedy happens.
Yeah, I think it's important that we go beyond just the men and women that work in the NYPD. This outreach has to be family members too. They're with our membership, you know, so many hours every day and during the week, and they know when there's an issue, and they have to have some place that they can turn to also. So we have to make sure that our outreach effort goes beyond just the people that work in the NYPD.
Anything else you can add on what you're going to do to try?
This is number one priority now. I know each and every one of us at the executive level takes it real hard. Again, last night, it took me a moment to catch my breath when I got notified. So it's gotta all stick together and stop this tide of suicides and continue keeping the city safe and taking care of each other.
Thank you, Commissioner.